Good morning, all. It's good to see everyone that's at. I had this lesson prepared back on the 9th when Eric came in. So he was able to give us a respite, and I appreciated it. So we're going to do the 9th, the assignment, today. My assignment on the 9th was the verse in John 14:6, where Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me." This is a very important scripture, and it's got a lot of meaning to us. I contrast this with the scripture that we read in Romans 3:23, where the Bible says that all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. Now, this is also a very important verse because it points to the fallibility of humanity. It tells us that no man has ever lived a life that is justified in the eyes of God because we are sinful by nature. And because of our sins, we have been condemned and are in a state of condemnation because no man is able to save himself. But Romans 3:23 gives the warning, but it does not give the antidote. In John 14:6, though, we see the antidote to this, to this sinful position. When Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father by me, which says, I am the antidote to sin. I am the cure for this sin of condemnation that will destroy humanity. These words were spoken on the night before Jesus was betrayed, or the night that Jesus was betrayed, on the night before his crucifixion. And beginning back in about the 13th chapter of John, we see an escalation, a crescendo, if you will, of events that are happening that have led up to this time. In chapter 13, we see the humility of Jesus as he washed the feet of the disciples. And then we hear about the discussion of the betrayal of Judas Iscariot. In chapter 14, Jesus says these words, and this is what actually led to the words in 14:6. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." He said, "Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or rooms, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you." Which leads us into verse 5, where Thomas, the apostle, speaks up. Thomas is one of these unique individuals, somewhat like Peter. He was a man that was known as a loyal apostle. He was a courageous apostle. But Thomas was a very practical man, maybe skeptical could be said. He also had a character that when he didn't understand something, he was not afraid to ask the questions. And so Thomas spoke up in verse 5 after Jesus says, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how will we know the way?" Very good question. And Jesus answered him. Jesus was speaking of the Father's house and the many rooms where he was going, and Thomas is ready to go to this place. He's eager to go. But just exactly where is this Jesus? Where are you going? And if you go, how are we going to find the way to you? It was in reply to this question in verse 7 that Jesus said, "You know, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Now this gets one of the other apostles' attention. And this was the apostle Philip. When Philip spoke up and said, "Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us." And this leads to another answer that Jesus answers to Philip. And he said, "Philip, don't you know me? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone that has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe the evidence of the miracles that I have performed." Now this is quite a dialogue that is going on between Thomas that asked the first question and between Philip that asked the second. And Jesus has answered all of these questions in this dialogue. There's a lot of information here. There's a lot of material. And this allows us to understand the answer that Jesus gives in verse 14:6. And that's the verse that we're going to dissect this morning. That's the verse that we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to divide it into four obvious parts. The first part is a direct answer to Thomas's question when Jesus says, "I am the way." The references to truth and life are acting in support to this way statement that he has made. And then the final clause gives a summary conclusion that he is the only way. Let's go to Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. John, the 14th chapter, verse 6. Jesus says, "I am the way." This is the way he begins this. And what Jesus is telling his disciples is that there is a way that an individual needs to go and a path that an individual needs to be on if he's going to get to heaven and if he is going to get to God. We can think of this in a picture of thinking of a road or a path that would lead from one spot to another. A road or a path that would lead from earth to heaven. Now Jesus does not say, as so many the religious leaders throughout history have said, you know, do it this way or do it this way or do it my way or a particular denominational way. But Jesus rather says very simply, "I am the way." All roads do not lead to heaven. And this is a fallacy in the denominational teachings. Jesus is able to say this because Jesus is a prophet. Jesus is a prophet that points us to heaven because he knows where God is and he knows where heaven is. Jesus teaches this as a priest, as an individual that would be able to lead his people to heaven. He says this as a king. He's a king of the kingdom of heaven, of the church, that directs people in the right way that they would be able to find him. And Jesus says this as a Messiah, as the Savior. What we need to do to get to heaven is to be obedient to the will of Christ. We need a Savior. We need a Messiah to get us to heaven. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. It is not within the ability of humanity to save themselves. Humanity must have a Savior. Jesus said, "I am the way." He is the Savior, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of man. He is the one that holds and possesses the ladder that would go to heaven. He is the one that has the ability and the authority to give eternal life. Without him, there is no one going to heaven. And without him, the way to heaven remains closed to humanity. It is through Jesus that we are able to get to God and to gain access to heaven. And he is the one in whom we must put our trust if we hope to be successful in getting to heaven. The book of Acts, throughout the book of Acts, we read of the many different things that an individual must do to be in Christ and to be obedient to Christ so that he can get to heaven. The Bible says we must hear Christ. We must believe upon Christ as deity. We must repent of past life, confess the name of Jesus as being the Son of God, and be baptized into the body of Christ. These are the steps of obedience that Jesus has set forth, that if we want to get to heaven, it is through him that we're able to do this. There's many passages of the New Testament that talk about the difficulties that we have in getting to heaven. But if we will put our faith and our confidence into Jesus, then the difficulties are of a less concern. By nature, human beings are wanderers. We wander far from the right pathway. In fact, since it is not in the nature of man to save himself, it is impossible for man to find that one path to heaven. But Jesus says, "I am the way. I know the way." And our trust and our confidence should be in him and not in ourselves or not in a government or not in some denominational group, because there is the way is not found in anyone but Jesus himself. So by nature, we're not on the road to heaven, but Jesus is the way, and it is him that we must put our faith. That's the reason so many people today lack direction. Many are wandering far and wide. People are lost. They don't know where to turn because they have not sought out and found the way that Jesus provides. Jesus says, "I am the way." He could have stopped right there, but he did not. As he continues to speak in this sixth verse, He said, I am the truth. Jesus is the truth, and he is the way, one that needs to know what we need to do to get to heaven. Jesus is not only the way, but Jesus is the truth. Now the picture becomes more complete at this time. He is the right way, of course, and he has the ability and the authority to bring those who look to him to direct them and take them to heaven. The point he's trying to make here is that we need to trust every word that Jesus speaks. Jesus is saying of himself, I am the truth. I am the embodiment of the truth. I am truth personified. I am the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Which is to say, in contrast, that all other ways are false. To trust in anyone or anything else is to reject the truth of Jesus and to reject the one who is the truth. Jesus says, I am the truth. Put your trust in me. There are ideas in the world today. There have been ideas in the world since the creation of the world. Is that truth is something that is not set, that is not positive, but truth in fact is something is relative. I have my truth, you have your truth, I'll do things my way, you do things your way. We're all on the road to heaven. We're just taking different paths to get there. That is a fallacy. It is paganism. Truth is not relative. Jesus says, I am the truth. And when we believe Jesus as the truth, we have that rock of truth. To believe in anything other than what Jesus says is to believe a falsehood. Jesus is saying that truth is found in no one else but him. And to fail to believe in Jesus is to believe a lie. Is to believe something false. And he says, don't believe a lie. Believe the truth. Believe in Jesus, who is the truth. Now we know that Jesus is truth because we can read in our Old Testament. And we can read in the Old Testament all the promises and the prophecies that have been made about Jesus. And when we get to the New Testament, we can see that Jesus is the fulfillment of these prophecies. All of the scriptures in the Old Testament are directed and focused and to give truth and credence to the fact that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the truth in sense of the reality as compared to the shadows and the types of the Old Testament. All of the sacrifices, all of the priesthood, the temple, David, Solomon, the land itself that was biblical, all points to Jesus Christ, points toward the Messiah, points toward the truth. Don't waste your time looking at shadows and types of the Old Testament, but looking back to the New Testament, to the truths and the reality of Jesus. By nature, we are not on the road to heaven. By human nature, we don't even know where the road is or that it exists. Jesus, he says, is the truth. Know God by knowing Jesus and put your faith in the truth. Then Jesus continues. I am the life. Jesus is the life that needs to be lived if we are ever be able to be reconciled with God in heaven. No one in this world has ever lived the life that is sinless and justified in the eyes of God except Jesus. Jesus says, I am the life. I have lived the life that is justified in the eyes of God. And we are able to be saved not through our own deeds, but we're able to be saved through the life that Jesus was able to live. He is not only the way, he is not only the truth, but he is also the life. The only life that has ever been lived that was sinless and justified and satisfied in the eyes of God. By living in the life of Jesus and patterning ourselves after him, we are enabled to travel along the road that Jesus has set for us and is able to understand and find his pathway to heaven. By nature, we are not able to take one step in the right direction because there is no life in us. We are sinful. We are fallible creatures. We do not have the power or the control or the authority to save ourselves. But Jesus is the life. He gives power, he gives strength, and he allows us to live in a way that would lead to heaven. Eternal life is something that is found only in Jesus Christ. So again, we say, trust Jesus, trust the eternal life, trust the true life, and trust someone that is able to get us to heaven. Jesus is the source of all life, according to the Bible. Apart from Him, there is no life, because the world offers only death and decay and destruction. Jesus is the one that offers happiness and peace and contentment and salvation. Jesus alone has the power to bring a person that is dead in sin back to life and give him spiritual life that allows him to walk the true path to heaven. Again, there's a contrast that we can see with other religious leaders. They can tell you how to live in their own opinion, but they have no life that is able to prove anything that they say. Again, by nature, we not only do we not know that there is a road to heaven, we're completely ignorant about where that road is. Humanity has no life because humanity is sinful. Jesus is the life. He has become alive to God, and we receive life in God through Him, not through our own works. So we're to put our faith in Jesus. There are many today that are dead in a spiritual way. They're cut off because they lack this spiritual life which Jesus is able to provide. I read found a quote. It's from a man by the name of Thomas A. Kempis. I have no idea who he is. But this is it's very poetic the way he says this. I want to read this quote. He said, "Follow me. I am the way and the truth and the life. Without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no living. I am the way which you must follow, the truth which you must believe, the life for which you must hope. I am the invaluable way, the infallible truth, the never-ending life. I am the straightest way, the sovereign truth, life true, life blessed, life uncreated. If you remain in my way, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, and you shall lay hold on eternal life. Without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. And without the life, there is no living." I thought that was a pretty good way of saying what Jesus and explaining what Jesus has said. And then at this point in 4:6, Jesus begins to conclude this remark and to bring a summation to it. Jesus said, "No one can come to the Father except through me. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." And now he is saying, "I am the only way to get to God." The picture we can have in our mind could be that of a gate or a door that is locked, and it takes one person with a key to open the door. Or maybe a door that is guarded by a sentry that knows who to let in and who not to let in. There is no other way to get to heaven except through Jesus. There is no other way. There is no other path. There is simply no other way. We can think of it as being a bridge from heaven, from earth to heaven. One bridge. And we've got to find that one bridge or we're never going to make it. Jesus is described in the Scripture as the mediator between man and God. If we pray to God, we pray through Jesus. When God blesses us, He blesses us through Jesus. If we want to go to heaven, if we want to see God, we must go through Jesus. To live a life that is pleasing to God, we must be pleasing to Jesus. And without Jesus, it can never happen. There are not many paths and many ways to heaven. There is only one. Many religions in the world today, many over 1,000 different denominations and teachings that teach us how to get to heaven. Many religions are well known. They're popular. They're rich. They have great many people that follow them. But will these major popular man-made religion save your soul in the end without Jesus? And of course the answer is no. The Jews have the thought that since they are children of Abraham and believing the Old Testament scriptures, that they're that God will be satisfied with them because of their ancestry. But yet the Bible says that everyone, Jew and Gentile, must trust in Christ as the only Messiah. Some people have the idea if they can do more good things in this column than they do bad things in this, that the weight will be on the good side and that God will accept them for what they have done. But the Bible says that there is no coming to God except through Jesus. Peter concluded it in Acts 4:12 when he said, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." So to conclude our thoughts on John 14:6, it is very clear that we must put all our trust in Him and in no one else. There is no other way of salvation but through Christ, and anything less than this will not do. This is the commission that Jesus gave to the apostles. It's the same message that Christians are to proclaim to the world today. Jesus says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man goes to heaven or goes to the Father except through me." We'll offer an invitation song. We can help anyone forward as you say.